Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Kimberly Williams, and I am an Outreach and Recruitment Officer with the Institute of International Education. I am joined today by Alexander D'Agostino, a Program Officer with the U.S. Department of State, Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs, as well as Susan Mundell, Assistant Director, Multi-Regional Programs with the Fulbright Student and Scholar Programs, also with the Institute of International Education. Today we will be discussing opportunities with the Fulbright Public Policy Program. I'd like to start by giving a brief overview of the mission and history of the Fulbright Program. Fulbright is a cultural exchange program established by Congress in 1946 and is sponsored by the Department of State. In partnership with 160 countries, the program offers opportunities to faculty, administrators, artists, and professionals to teach and or conduct research abroad. The advancement of our mission of fostering mutual understanding between nations, advancing knowledge across communities, and improving lives around the world is the heart of Fulbright. Diversity and inclusion is at the forefront of our mission. We are actively recruiting a diverse pool of applicants from a variety of institutions to include minority-serving, community colleges, and rural institutions. I'm going to turn the next slide over to my colleague, Susan.
Thanks, Kimberly, and thank you, everyone, for taking the time to join us today and find out more information about the Fulbright Public Policy Fellowship. The Fulbright Public Policy Fellowship is a unique opportunity within the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. Fellows will serve as technical specialists in a foreign government ministry or institution, spending about 80% of their time on this specific assignment, as well as about 20% of their time on a self-directed independent research project. What's special about this program, well, many things are special about this program, but one unique aspect is that the program will actually match and assign a placement for the individuals into a host country ministry, government ministry. So in other aspects of the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, individuals are seeking out their own independent affiliations. And for this program, you're designing and indicating an interest in a particular ministry that you would like to affiliate with, but the host government and the U.S. Embassy or Fulbright Commissions overseas coordinate and negotiate that placement on your behalf. The program is also flexible in its length of time. They can be between 4 and 9 months. They do have to be consecutive, but it can be anywhere from 4 to 9 months. We do anticipate supporting approximately 2 per country. There are 4 eligible countries that are participating, which I'll talk about a little bit later on. So there are likely around 10 worldwide for the fellowship. Next slide. So as I mentioned earlier, the U.S. Embassy or the Fulbright Commission in the overseas host country coordinate the placements within the host government ministries, which means that as an applicant, you are not going to contact the potential host ministries, but rather would be paired up with one after the initial round of the selection process. Applicants for this award or successful individuals have a graduate degree in a public policy related field. This need not be a PhD. This could be a terminal degree within your field. But we do require 3 to 5 years of work experience. So if you are a PhD, you certainly can apply and will be competitive for the program, provided that you do have some work experience outside of academia. There are also required language proficiency skills, which vary depending on the country to which you're applying. So the participating countries for the fellowship in the 2021-22 academic year are Burma, the Cote d'Ivoire, Peru, and Ukraine. And what we have here are just a few of the potential host ministries that could serve as placements for the fellows. In Burma, the language skills are not required, and potential hosts are the Ministry of Health, Ministry of Education, Ministry of Natural Resources and Environmental Conservation, and Parliament. In Cote d'Ivoire, there is a language requirement. Advanced French language skills is required. And potential hosts, there's a variety that they are seeking to work with, and that's the Ministry of Water and Forests, National Security Council, Ministry of Environment and Sustainable Development, Office of the Prime Minister, Ministry of Justice and Human Rights, Ministry of Construction, Housing and Urbanization, Administration of Territory and Decentralization, Ministry of Commerce and Industry, and Ministry of Private Sector Promotion. In Peru, advanced Spanish language proficiency is required, and some of the potential host ministries include the Ministry of Agriculture, Tourism, Energy, Education, Ministry of Women and Vulnerable Populations, Development and Social Inclusion, Ministry of Production, Justice and Human Rights, Ministry of Health, Ministry of Transportation and Communications, Environment, Culture, Housing and Construction, Labor, Economy and Finance. In Ukraine, the level of Ukrainian language skills will depend on the ministry. For some, English is the working language, and in others, a basic level of Ukrainian may be preferred. The potential host ministries include the Ministry of Culture, Youth and Sports, Ministry of Health, Ministry of Social Policy, Ministry of Education, Ministry of European and Euro-Atlantic Integration, Ministry for Veterans Affairs and Temporarily Occupied Territories and Internally Displaced Persons of Ukraine. I'm going to turn it over to Alex if you'd like to add a little more information from the sponsor perspective about how some of these placements might work.
Thank you, Susan. From the perspective of the Department of State, we work together with the embassies and the commissions to look at how your proposed project might fit in with the goals of the host government. So in the case of all of these, we've gone to either the Fulbright commissions in country or the embassies. We've asked them specifically, based on their experience, which ministries that they've worked with have a good track record of working with our fellows. And then which ministries can make the best use of projects that they've identified as being a priority. So in terms of that, we've worked with all four of these countries to sort of suss out what projects they're looking for, what kind of hosts, the hosts that could host one of your projects next year, and then which one of these ministries might be able to support them. So yeah, back to you, Susan.
Thank you. Okay, next slide. Actually, Kimberly, I'm going to pause. Are there any questions coming in about the eligible countries or the potential hosts?
So we have a couple of questions. Is this program open to applicants that are not from the United States?
No. So as part of the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, applicants must be a U.S. citizen in order to be eligible.
Okay, another question that is coming in. Do applicants have access to what kinds of projects each ministry or country is looking for?
So we do have up on our website, you can see examples of our previous fellows. So if you're on our website and you click on the highlights tab, you can see the 2019 to 20 public policy fellows and which host institutions, host ministries they were placed in, as well as their project titles, just to give you a sense of what was successful in the past year.
Okay, I have one final question. When you do apply, do you have to have a research project in mind?
Yes. We will go into the application components and requirements a little bit later on in the session. But for the time being, yes, a research project is should be developed and explained within the project statement.
And okay. Susan, I just wanted to jump in and point out. I know you'll go into this in more depth later, but that. The research project is not set in stone, whereas the ministry placement will be. That when we place you in a ministry, you will be with them for that amount of time, for the length of the fellowship, unless they or you, you know, have to have some change in it. But the research project is not nearly so strident. It's much more the project that you propose can develop, it can evolve a bit, so it's not as concrete, the research project.
Okay.
Great. Okay. So getting into a little more detail about the application itself. The application is completed fully online through, we use the Slate platform. It consists of an application form, which is primarily biographical information, educational history, professional experience, the project statement, which is a 3-5 page document that is uploaded then into the online application. Curriculum vitae or resume, that is a maximum of 5 pages. And letters of reference, 2 letters of reference are required. Select bibliography, which is for the research component of the project. That is a 1-page document, single-spaced, and essentially should contain sources reflecting the current state of research in your proposed topic, and helps to demonstrate how the project proposed research will contribute to existing work. It can be a list of sources, or it can be an annotated. It can be annotated or explanatory. In addition, a language proficiency report for the countries that require it, which is Peru and Cote d'Ivoire. If you do have additional language, we encourage you to submit the self-assessment. Okay, next slide. Okay, the project statement. The project statement is your opportunity to explain your proposed project and specific strengths as a candidate to the reviewers and potential hosts. We recommend that you start with the big question, what are you proposing to do? What ministry would you like to work with? Why is your project important? Why you? Why are you? How are you specifically qualified to conduct this fellowship? And what impact do you hope to have? It should be clear and compelling to audiences both inside and outside your field. It is, as I mentioned before, it's 3-5 pages, single spaced. And we have additional formatting requirements upon our website. We do recommend that you specifically lay out, address the country interest. What are your goals for the country? What do you propose to do? Why does it have to be in this specific country? How will you engage with the host country, meaning inside the office as well as outside within the community? How will you contribute toward the promotion of cultural exchange and mutual understanding? Your experiences and skills. What knowledge and experience do you bring to the fellowship? Addressing any specific strengths and relevant work experience. What specific skills have you developed from your professional and educational experiences that may be considered transferable and beneficial to any potential host ministry? And any additional skills you might have related to professional experiences, which may provide insight into policy-related portfolios. For the research project, what do you propose to do, stating the methodology and nature of your research? What significance does it hold for your discipline, your development, the host country's benefit, and how will the results be disseminated? How feasible is your project in terms of resources and the amount of time allocated? What research facilities and resources are found in the host country, and how could local, political, or cultural issues impact your work? Okay. I'll pause here if there are any questions about the application itself or the project statement.
So there are a couple of questions. What are the typical outcomes from a grant?
Actually, maybe Alex, I could swing that over to you as far as what are your hopes and what are you expecting to gain?
Hi, Susan, can you hear me? Sorry, I may have accidentally muted myself there.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, good. So in terms of what the typical project outcome is, there's no typical project outcome. These are four very different countries. People will be placed in, you know, any different ministry, so we're not looking for a particular outcome. But the thing that we are looking for all of them is that the person that we place in a ministry provides a value add to the ministry. So with any project that we're looking at, what we're seeking is that this is a priority for the host government and that the person that we're placing with the host government has the capability not only of carrying the project out, but providing a skill or some kind of assistance that may not exist or did not exist previously. So, yeah, in terms of how that would look for each one of these countries, it's completely different. And as the program has evolved, obviously it's been going on for since 2012, 2013, right, Susan?
Yes, with one gap in between. It's actually only the second year now that we've had it under the U.S. Scholar Program. But yes, you're correct. We've been working with the host country, the government ministries, since 2012.
Yeah. So in that time, we've worked with a lot of different host countries. The outcome is always different, but I would say that the main thing that we're looking for is that it's a priority of the host country and that the person that we're placing there has the capability to either advance that priority or provide some new capability that didn't exist before.
Okay, we have another question about eligibility. In terms of Department of State employees and other federal employees, are they permitted to apply?
For Department of State employees, was that the question?
Yes, for Department of State employees, are they eligible to apply?
No Department of State employees are eligible to apply, unfortunately.
Okay.
And that also extends, just to make clear, that extends as well to implementing organizations. So that means that an employee of IIE, an employee of World Learning, IREX, et cetera, they would also not be eligible to apply. And I believe there's a two-year, it's either a one-year or a two-year cooling off period. Susan, you'd have to.
It's 1 year. So employees and immediate families, spouses and dependent children of U.S. Department of State and U.S. Agency for International Development and public or private organizations under contract to the Department of State are not eligible to apply until 1 year after termination of such employment. We have a whole list of the eligibility criteria on the eligibility tab of our website, and maybe Kimberly, at the end of the session, you can point our applicants over to our website.
Absolutely. Okay, that looks like all of the questions for now.
Okay, Great. Next slide, then. Okay, so the review process and timeline overview. The application will close on September 15th, 2020. After the application closes, we have we conduct a technical review here at IIE, and then we convene peer review committees to review the application and make recommendations for further consideration by the U.S. Embassy or Commission overseas in the relevant host country. The peer review is comprised of faculty members in sort of public policy related fields. And we'll be reviewing the public policy fellowship applications together. For the U.S. scholar applications, they're reviewed separately by discipline. But there is a separate committee just for the fellowship applications. The peer review takes place in November to December. And then in December, the applicants will receive notification of the first round results, and the recommended applications will then be reviewed by the U.S. embassies and commissions overseas. At this time, they may require an interview, a virtual interview of the candidates. And then consult with the host government ministries on the candidates to find the most suitable match. And then successful candidates are then nominated for selection. In January, the recommended candidates are reviewed by the JW Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board for approval. And the selection notifications are announced in around February, March, following the U.S. Embassy host ministry placement negotiations. The placement assignments tend to take a little bit longer, and that can vary depending on, the political situation. I've seen delays with, elections that can change the government, in which case it can sometimes take a little bit longer to negotiate. But the placements are all finalized before the fellows depart for their fellowship. We do also anticipate a pre-departure orientation to take place in Washington, D.C. in June or July, and then departure for grants generally takes place from July, between July and March. So for this competition, this would be July of 2021 through March of 2022. Next slide.
Great. So I'm going to take over, and we're going to do a brief website walkthrough. You can give me 1 second to transition my screen. Okay. So here we are at the Fulbright Public Policy Fellowship website. So you have several tabs across your screen. The first tab is the overview tab. It gives a general overview again of the program. If you scroll down, you'll see the participating countries and eligible disciplines. And if we continue to scroll, you'll see more information regarding the grant details. And I'd like to highlight this email address. So I see in the questions box, I have a lot of specific questions regarding professional experience. So I do encourage you to send your CV and the grant that you're interested in to fppf@iie.org. That way I can review your materials. You also have the opportunity to set up an advising appointment. So I do encourage you to send your materials there. If you have any further questions, we can set up an advising appointment. So if we scroll back up, Our next tab is the eligibility tab in detail. So it goes over the program policies as well as some eligibility essentials and specific guidelines for previous Fulbright grantees. Scrolling up is the application tab. So this is where you would actually complete the application. Here are application guidelines for your project statement. It gives the formatting requirements and what your project statement should include, as well as experience and skills, more about the research project. Here's information about uploading your CV or resume, and select bibliography. So if we're scrolling back up, we have our review criteria. And so this tab gives a very detailed overview of what the review criteria is. And some examples are, it says reviewers take into account the basic objectives of the Fulbright Public Policy Fellowship. They apply the following: suitability of the applicant, your professional record in relevant public policy sectors. It also highlights previous Fulbright awards, previous experience abroad. In addition to veterans of military service, it states that candidates who have served in the armed forces of the United States will be given preference. And here's just some more information in terms of the specifics with that. If we scroll back up, Susan just went over in detail our timeline. This is where you can find it again. And here are some highlights of the 2019-2020 Public Policy Fellows. So as you can see, it gives their home institution, their host country and ministry, and their project titles. So we have quite a few featured here on the website. And finally, we have our frequently asked questions. I do encourage you to take a look at some of our FAQs. In addition, you can always send any questions to spps@iie.org. And a couple of other helpful tools. So right now we're back on our Fulbright homepage, that's cies.org. There are a couple of features that I do want to bring to your attention. The first is going to be Connect with Fulbright. So if you're clicking on this, there's different functions on this page: register for an advising session, register your interest, refer a colleague. There's different functions on that page. And something else I'd like to point you to, just for your reference, is our Fulbright Scholar Directory. You are able to view scholars, well, alumni, that have participated in our Fulbright Scholar programs in the last 10 years. So going back to our Fulbright Public Policy page, I wanted to stop right now and see if I can answer some of the questions that are coming in. Again, I see a lot of specific questions to degree requirements, but I will ask you to please send those to SPPF along with your CV so that I can review and we can set up an advising session. But some of the questions that are coming in, for work experiences, and I'll pass this question to you, Susan, do internships, fellowships, and part-time work count for work experience?
That's a good question. They do count, but it must be cumulatively at least 3 years. So 3 to 5 really is what we're looking for.
Okay. And could you give an example of some public policy fields?
Public policy, what? Fields?
Fields. Mm-hmm.
Oh, fields. Public administration. We've also had, what else? We've had lawyers successful in this program. There's some other
public health professionals.
Public health, that's true. Economic development.
Yeah, urban planning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also education policy.
Yep.
Okay, another question coming in. Do participating government hosts change every year?
Go ahead, Alex.
No, go ahead, Susan.
We've had some ministries that are repeat ministries that we've worked with in the past, and we've also had some rotated. So it tends to vary on what the priorities are for the U.S. Embassy in the host country, but also which ministries are available and willing and interested in participating in the program.
Okay, here's another question about early career. Could you go into a little more detail about what is considered early career?
Well, again, it's anyone with 3 to 5 years of experience would typically be in their kind of early to mid-career. I think thinking about it in terms of the placement opportunity, we're not expecting, or anyone who's applying should not be expecting to go in as the expert who's going to tell the ministry how to run their government. but certainly those that are looking to gain a little bit more experience with working in a government and political office, but who also have some experience to contribute to that position.
Okay, I have a couple of other questions coming in. Can this program be open to educators?
So the placement will not be within a classroom, if that's sort of the question in terms of, an educator looking to go into the classroom and teach. But certainly anyone who has a background in education policy and who's looking to make recommendations about education reform, and that certainly would be a suitable fit.
Okay, I have another question coming in, Susan. How is the government ministry selected?
That's a great question. I'm actually going to pass that one to Alex, since he sort of knows a little bit more on the back end how that process works, if you don't mind,
yeah.
Alex.
No, of course. So all of the embassies and commissions that we work with have ongoing contact with government ministries throughout the year. And then the way they select them is generally it's a mix of things. It's which government ministry is best equipped to host a fellow, which one have seen the least political turmoil. We're particularly wary of putting fellows in ministries that have seen a lot of political turnover or have undergone a lot of rapid changes. And then we always, at least on the part of the embassy that's working with the government, what they're looking for is that the ministry is working on a country goal that's a shared goal with the United States. So in terms of these four countries, all the ministries that have been chosen, every one of those ministries is working on a goal for their country that is also a goal of the United States Embassy in that country. So that's broadly how we select them, and then we go through them, and oftentimes ministries are removed because there's some specific problem with them. It may be too politically sensitive to put somebody there. That's often why we don't have ministries of foreign affairs or ministries of defense, although we have had those in the past. But generally what we're trying to select for most broadly is that ministry is working on a country goal that is shared with the United States government.
Thank you. So I have a couple of questions coming in from individuals who are looking to conduct teaching and research. So for that, I will refer you to the U.S. Scholar Program. You can go to CIES.org and you can view our catalog of awards. The deadline is September 15th, but this program is completely separate. I do have another question. Are there any examples available for research projects?
Meaning the type of project, the type of research project for this specific program, or just general Fulbright research topics and projects?
Okay, it looks like maybe general research projects.
Oh, if you have a specific research project that you're looking to do sort of as your primary focus, I would suggest that you take a look at the catalog of awards that Kimberly referenced take a look at other countries, which, you know, if you have a specific country in mind, let's say you were thinking about Peru, and you're not interested in being placed in a ministry, but rather seeking to conduct your own independent research as 100% of your goal, then you should take a look at the opportunities within Peru for under the catalog of awards.
And I just wanted to jump in for a second. I think it's worth noting that the research project is considered an independent research project, but it's also expected that it will be I don't want to say furthering one of the goals of the ministry that you're working in, but it will be directly tied into that. So it's generally not advisable that you propose a research project that is completely separate from the work you're doing at the ministry that you're posted at. The ideal is that whatever research you're doing is related to the work you're doing at the ministry and would presumably be of some use to them if they were to, you know, read it and use it.
Okay, thank you. I have a reoccurring question about the 3 to 5 years of experience. If you have close to 3, can you still be considered if you don't have the full 3 years of experience?
So I think that's up to you as a candidate to make the argument as to how your professional background has prepared you for a position like this. And what skills you've gained from the experience that you do have that would be an asset to an employer. You can think about this in a way applying for a job. And in your project statement, you should talk about the kinds of professional experience that you have that makes you a strong candidate for this position.
Okay, I have another question, Susan. Would Fulbright consider placement with any ministry not currently listed in one of the 4 countries?
No. For this academic year, we are only accepting applications for the 4 countries that are listed, only in Burma, Cote d'Ivoire, Peru, and Ukraine.
Okay. For the remaining questions, again, I see specific questions that would need to be dealt with on a one-on-one basis. I know we have a couple of folks that just joined us. So, again, if you have specific questions about your degree type, any special circumstances, I do encourage you to email fppf@iie. If you could send me a copy of your CV as well as your interest, that way I can answer your question individually. Let's see, we have a couple more questions, I believe. One second. If your master's degree is not in public policy, however, you have experience in public policy, are you still eligible to apply?
Yes, you are eligible to apply. But again, you would have to demonstrate how your background would prepare you for a position within a government ministry.
Okay,
and,
great.
And I was just going to point out, I'm not sure how we're defining public policy, but obviously we will consider a number of degrees that are not, you know, masters of public policy. We consider if you have a master's of international relations, or if you have a JD, or if you have an MBA, but then you've done public policy work, This is, of course, this is what we consider under sort of the broader umbrella of you have experience then in public policy.
Mm-hmm. And also, if it's in the sector that the ministry is interested in, for example, environmental science, we do have several candidates with masters in environmental science who fit well into Ministry of Environmental Affairs.
Okay, great. That seems to be all of our general questions. I just wanted to point you to the screen. When we did the walkthrough of the website, we came across the My Fulbright page. But again, I encourage you to join My Fulbright at CIES2.org. If you have any questions, you may email us at fppf@iie.org. You're also able to refer your colleagues as well as follow us on social media, stay connected with us. I will check with our guests to see if there are any more questions. Susan, Alex, is there anything else you wanted to add?
Well, Kimberly, maybe since we have some time, maybe you could open up the catalog of awards and just demonstrate how to find, number one, how to find this fellowship, the catalog description, and also maybe how to find other awards that might be related to public policy fields.
Absolutely. So in the questions box, I did receive quite a few questions about the Fulbright Scholar Program, and while this is a separate program, I'm happy to show you the awards catalog, as Susan mentioned. So this is back at our homepage of CIES.org. You can select Explore U.S. Scholar Program. And so for the U.S. Scholar Program, the eligibility, application, review criteria, timeline, they're all different. So here you can find out what these items are. If you scroll down under Find an Award, it takes us to our awards policy. Sorry, catalog. So we can filter out the awards catalog any way we'd like. So for the purpose of this, let's look at public policy awards, and we'll leave the region and country blank. So this will take us to all of our public policy awards. So I'd like to point you to the left-hand side. While you have public policy selected, there are additional features, filters that you can filter the search to. You can filter the search by activities, so it could be teaching and research, your grant length, degree requirements, candidate profile, and letter of invitation. So we will take a look at one of the public policy awards. Let's see. Let's try this one. So this is an all disciplines award to Albania. Again, when we filtered out our award search for public policy, this came up, meaning that you are able to apply. Under the discipline of public policy, as you can see to the right, some of the activities available are the professional project, teaching, research, teaching, and teaching and research. So here you will find the degree requirements for this particular award, and it varies from award to award. A PhD or terminal degree is not required. So the candidate profile for this award, it's open to professionals and academics, all levels, including early career. And this is important. With every award, there is a designated program contact person. So if you are interested in this award or any other award, I encourage you to take a look at the contact information for the program staff. In this case, it's Aphrodita. You're able to email her, set up an advising appointment. So we can look at the body of the email just to, the award, just to get a little more information about how to read it. So with the grant activity, it specifies that applicants will teach courses at the undergrad or grad level. The grant length is pretty clear, 4 to 5 months. And it gives an overview of your grant dates. In terms of locations for affiliation, it states that the U.S. Embassy staff provides information to all interested applicants from the very early stages of the application form. In this space, you will typically see institution options for affiliation. Gives us a little more information with this particular award. The flex option is available, and the flex option is available to complete your research over the course of 2 years, two consecutive years, and it gives the specific grant parameters here. Again, this was an all disciplines award, and we filtered it out for public policy, meaning public policy is an acceptable discipline. We'll take a look at the award requirements tab. So it states that a letter of invitation is optional, and a letter of invitation is going to come from the institution for affiliation inviting you over. It will highlight what your grant activity will be, what the dates are. Let's say, for example, you're interested in teaching end research, so your letter of invitation will indicate that along with the dates. The letter of invitation will also convey why it is essential for you to be a part of this institution. What would be the benefit of having you teach and conduct research at the institution? If there is a language proficiency, it will be listed here. And the additional comments section, each award looks different. However, it may have information for specific departmental contacts at universities. It could have information about the Fulbright commissions in country. It could have a variety of things. Also, most awards will contain helpful links that will provide you some guidance. Our next tab over has to do with our stipend and benefits. For this particular award, it gives a range of the monthly stipend. Any type of air or research allowances are all listed here, as well as any type of benefit to your dependents, if any. And finally, in the country or area overview, it gives you a summary of the grant. In this case, it states that they're up to three grants, short-term flex grants for teaching research and or research, or 1 to 3 month segments. And it gives you an overview of the country itself and the educational system. And if we go back, it takes us to the remaining awards for public policy. So I just want to pivot over to the question box to see if I can answer some questions. And for the U.S. Scholar Program, it is open to U.S. citizens only. Okay, I see that question. Okay, how to apply. So the application is online. You would first select the award that you're interested in, and again, each award contains a program contact person that is located in the lower right-hand corner. I do encourage you to reach out so that you can schedule an advising appointment. Just like with the public policy program, we ask that you send your CV as well as the award that you're interested in so that you can set up an advising session.
And Kimberly, if you go over to our public policy website, there's actually a link directly to the application in the application tab.
Okay.
So when you click on the application, it'll bring you directly into the online application.
Okay. That little blue button. Here we are. Yep. Okay, so here we are. For most people, they would create a new account, and for returning users, they're able to log in here. So we only have a few minutes.
That's a little piece of advice. You don't have to start and finish your application all in one sitting. You can just start it, take a break, come back to it. The application is open until September 15th.
Okay, we have a few minutes left. I just want to make sure I've captured as many questions as possible. Let's see, is this webinar recorded? It absolutely is recorded. You can check back on our website, I'd say by this time tomorrow. If you have any colleagues that may be interested, I do encourage you to share this as well as some of our other webinars that are on the website with the U.S. Scholar Program. We do have several webinars that are discipline and region specific, so please feel free to take a look. And that appears to be all of our questions for now. Susan or Alex, did you have anything to add?
No, just thank you very much. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Thanks for your interest in the Fulbright Public Policy Fellowship. Alex, thank you very much for taking the time to join us and share your experience with the program.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. I look forward to seeing all of your applications.
Alrighty, thank you so much for joining us and have a great day.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.